The Holy Gospel is written in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John and beginning at the 8th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. And I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
Lord, in the activity of life, help us to draw close to your Spirit, who always draws close to us, and to allow that Spirit to dictate our lives. For we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please sit? This great feast of Pentecost, W.H. Davies has some words which are often repeated. If in this world is full of care, we have not time to stand and to stare. A world that's full of activity. When I was a service in the cathedral, where there were several hundred children there. It was a leaving service for those going from one school on to secondary school. And as they were assembled there, in the middle of the cathedral, I got them to sit round on four sides, or stand on four sides, jam-packed full, all the way around this sort of oblong area in the middle, as if they were a football crowd. And we had them cheering and chanting. It was like Wembley Stadium. It was really pulsing in there. Then from one of the schools that were leaving, I selected five of their kids, and I gave them some red tops and tabs to put on. So they ran onto the pitch. Then from another school, we put blue ones on them, five of them, stuck them on there. They were all ready to go. I got the football, I chucked it into the middle, and off they went. And the girls are the worst, aren't they? Eh? I mean, I've seen them play hockey, but they were kicking lumps off the blokes in this. It was a free-for-all. They were really putting everything they could in with supreme energy, tackling the ball, trying to get it to one of their own team, battling away together. It was like a riot of some kind. When this had gone on for a minute and a half, which is a pretty long time when all this is going on, I blew a whistle. So they stopped. I said to one of the kids, "You're playing for red team. How do you know if you've won?" He thought for a minute and then he said, "Well, if we score more goals." I said, "You've been playing a minute and a half, there aren't any goals." He hadn't noticed what the end product of the game was, or there were no goalposts on the pitch. They were just kicking lumps out of one another and fighting away for their team. What in this world is so full of care we have not time to stand and stare, to assess what we're doing? That game's like life. Daisy May is born, she's 5 months old, she's sent onto the pitch. She'll be given something to wear, a tab. She's either a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, an agnostic, an atheist. There'll be some tribe she's playing for out there without knowing. It's given to her. She didn't choose to be part of that tribe. It's just hung round her neck. And then, maybe she's unlucky, and like all of us, we play and gallop away, kicking lumps off one another, chasing about in the frenzy of life, worshipping the gods of consumerism, celebrity and fame. And then the manager subs you off, takes you out, you die, you're put in a coffin, taking up the creme, game over. Somebody else is sent on. If in this world so full of care we have not time to stand and stare, we've got the time to actually assess what the hell are we doing here? Why are we galloping around at this pace? What's the meaning of life? And if there is a meaning to it, am I living in accordance with that meaning, or am I working against it? Is that why I'm unhappy? Or depressed? Or tired? Or stressed? Did you know that since President Reagan in the United States and Thatcher followed by Blair here in Britain, the United States and America since the 1970s are the hardest working nations in the world. The World Health Organization says that if you live in the United States or you live in Britain at this current time, you are twice as likely to suffer from stress-related illnesses, because you're galloping around like a mad thing, than you are if you live in France or Germany or Holland or Belgium or Italy or Spain. And not only that, given the cross-check and regulation of inflation, real wages have not really increased that much. In fact, sometimes they've gone backwards. In the United States of America in the post-war era, the average hourly rate for an American was £15.42 an hour. In the year 2000, it was $14.15. How do we make it up then? How do we account for this affluence? Because we send the wife out to work. We start that the whole family are engaged in it. In 1968 in Britain, the number of combined hours of a family working was 53. In the year 2000, it was 64. We're galloping around on the football pitch, and one day we'll be subbed off. Game over. What the hell are we doing? And that's the words of Christ, I think. I think that's what he's asking. What the hell are you playing at? But he doesn't force it on us. He doesn't make us do what he wants us to do. On that pitch, he wants to slow us down. But it's not like, you know that Duracell advert where you wind the bunnies up and they're all racing about, chasing a ball. He could just switch us off. I want you to stand and stare. Listen to what I'm telling you. In fact, do what I'm telling you. He doesn't do that. That's not how God operates. He's given you free will, which means he surrendered some of his free will so that you can have free will, you and I. And he doesn't go against that. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you, but he won't force himself upon you or herself upon you, as I'll mention in a minute. What happens is there for you to stop, to stand, to stare. And that's what makes you uniquely human. Your animal antecedents up to the early forms of what we might call man, from the ape. All these things are of an animal nature. You're the only, as far as we know, Homo sapiens is the only part of creation that can actually stop, stand, stare, and reflect upon its own existence. So you've got to be worth more than just galloping round on that pitch like a headless chicken. We've got to be able, somehow, haven't we, to rise and become the human being that we're capable of being. And that Holy Spirit's job is to come alongside us and do that. Now, I want you to think of the Holy Spirit. I like the idea that Father, Son, they seem to have male gender in the way that we talk, if we can talk about God. The Holy Spirit is almost left neutral. We rather think of it as an it than a person. But if you're a bloke, I want you to think of the Holy Spirit as a woman. See, I think I'm doing God a favor. I'm bringing his feminine side out. I'm allowing him to actually engage with me in a different way. And if you're a woman and you're heterosexual, think of the Holy Spirit as a fella. And if you're a homosexual, then you'll have your own gender design to put on that. But whatever it is, engage with that Holy Spirit. Fall in love with the Holy Spirit. You see, up here, I want you to date the Holy Spirit. That's what this table's about. I like to think that the candles are here because it's a candlelit dinner. And there's going to be wine. And there's going to be food. And she, the Holy Spirit, is going to be sitting at the other side of the table. If I stop galloping around and take her out on a date, if I stand and stare and listen and grow. And sometimes I'll feel really close to her. Sometimes in daily prayer, you go there and you're overcome. You have the feeling that God is close to you, that the Holy Spirit's engaging with you. And that's brilliant. Then another time, next day I pray, she ain't there. Can't feel her presence. Do you know where she is? She's round the back of that pillar, like a teasing lover. Over here, David. Dave, what? Oh, there you are. Then I rush, we embrace again. Then she does the same to me again. But all the time, I'm growing from being an ape to being a man. All the time, I'm going Godward. All the time, I'm going in this direction till the final dating process when we can all sit round that great table with Christ and the Father and the Spirit and know the fullness of what it is to be a human being. So if you ask me what my prayer is this day for Daisy May, I can tell you. It's the same prayer for every child, every baby, and every adult I've baptized in that font or any other font that I've been privileged with my hands to pour the water of baptism over that person. That is, I want them to be able to look at the things in their lives that take them away from God, the madness of the treadmill of the world in which they live. I ask that Daisy may be able to recognize that and to be able to stand and stare. That she won't go around just collecting bananas like a gorilla would. How many bananas have I got? How much more can I consume? The things that I want rather than things that I need. And what we really need is human relationships and love and community. That's what makes us really human. To rise up and become the person God created her to be. Not moving around with the back of her knuckles like a gorilla, scraping on the ground, but to be able to stand tall and be a real woman. I know I've not lived to see the fullness of it. I'm an old fella, I'm a granddad. So give me some respect, by the way, I'm a granddad now. But at that moment, I might not see the fullness of it, but that's my prayer. And it's a prayer for myself. It's my prayer for each of you when I think of you at night in my daily prayers, that that will become an engagement with the Holy Spirit. So take your lover, let him or her come to you. And don't stop dating the Holy Spirit. For what is this world if full of care? We have not time to stand and stare.